We're good all the way around here. Amen. All right. Well, this morning, we're going to take that verse that we looked at earlier, and we're going to think about it. Now, we're going to... if you want to take the children on back for the children's church, and that's a blessing for our little ones. So, grateful for our workers there. You ever been upstaged? It's okay. All right, so in Matthew chapter 9, we're given a story here, and the other Gospels really relate it in more detail. But in this chapter, what we see described here is of some men bringing another man who, in the King James, it says he was sick of the palsy, but literally he was paralyzed. He could not move on his own. He could not come on his own. And they brought this man to Jesus, but here's the problem. The problem was when they got to the house where Jesus was, there was such a crowd of people crowded in that they couldn't get inside the house. And Matthew's gospel doesn't tell that part of the story, but Mark and Luke do. So you can compare those later, but here's the thing we see, is that these four men, I don't believe it puts a number on it here in Matthew 9, but it just says, they brought to him a man, verse 2. And in one of the other versions I read it in, it said some men, just some men. Some men. And so here's what I want to suggest to you. This is a familiar text to us, I think. I've used this many times, and we've heard it a lot. But I want to suggest to you today that just as God used some men, we're not given their names. We don't know any information about them. We don't know who they were or anything, really. Just some men. Even as God used some men back in that time, in that day, God is able to use some men today. And some women today. Some young people today. Some boys and girls today. Alright? So, what we want to do is we want to enter into a similar ministry as what these folks had. Because what these men did, just notice, it says they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, I'm in verse 2, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so, what they did is they brought this man to Jesus, because he couldn't come on his own. And so, here's where we're headed this morning. We're going to be praying and asking God to do some things in our lives and the lives of people around us. But here's some things we can notice about these guys. Some guys. Just some guys. Just some guys from work. Just some guys from school. Just some guys from church. Just some guys. Okay? Just some men. Well, the first thing is they had faith. I mean, they believed that there was a reason for them to carry their buddy whatever distance it was. And it could have been quite a distance. We don't know. And maybe on the way, one of them said, you know, I sure hope Jesus heals this guy because I really don't want to have to lug him home. Well, they had faith. But secondly, they loved their friend. They loved this man. They were I mean, I don't think you carry a guy any distance unless you really care about him. Now, here's the only thing today. We can attempt to enter in and follow these guys' example. But we gotta have faith. We gotta believe that God is and He rewards those who seek Him. We gotta believe that. And then secondly, we gotta love people enough to be willing to carry them. Now, we can't carry them perhaps physically. I mean, you might, but you might get arrested if they're not in on that, if they're not really ready for that. But we can carry them spiritually to the Lord in prayer. We can lift them to the Lord in prayer. Well, you've got to have some love in your heart. I mean, you've got to have some love in your heart. Otherwise, you don't give a flip about that person out there. You don't care if they live or die, if they go to hell. You don't care. Now, be careful about that, because sometimes we say we care and we do squat. We do nothing. And what we're doing tells us far more about what we actually believe than what we're saying. Okay? But they had faith. They loved their friend. And then, thirdly, they were willing to do whatever it took to bring their friend to Christ. They believed that Jesus had the answer for their friend. And they said, fellas, let's do whatever it takes. You know, in this case, they got to the house. They couldn't get inside. The crowd was just packed in. Windows, the doors, everything. And what did they do? You remember? They found their way up onto the top of the house. Because the houses in those days were built with a flat roof. They found their way. They found some side stairs. And they went up on top of the house. And they started taking the roof apart. Now, I don't know what, you know, it wasn't a shingle roof, I'm pretty sure of that. Or a metal roof like we have nowadays. But, you know, whatever roof was there, they started dismantling it. And I'm sure there was some people all around Jesus started the dust started streaming down and the clumps of dirt maybe or whatever they had up there, you know, and people were, what are they doing? What's going on here? But these four guys, they were so focused on their mission that they wouldn't let anything distract them or keep them from what they were doing. So they were willing to do whatever it took. But then there's one other element that I want us to notice, and then we're going to move forward in this. But they had a Savior who had come to them. They had a Savior who loved them and their friend who was in such need. And folks, we still have the same Savior today. He's still the same. He still saves souls. He still changes lives one heart at a time, one soul at a time. He's still able to give us a new heart, a new mind, a new beginning, a fresh start. And it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's awesome, and it's amazing. So, here's what I want us to do. We're going to have a moment to pray and to seek the Lord. And the first part of that is that we're going to praise the Lord. So we're going to sing? No, I said we're going to praise the Lord. You know, we often equate singing with worship and worship with singing. Worship is much more than singing. Worship is our heart's response to all that God is and who He has shown Himself to be. Okay? So when we worship, we're just pouring our heart back to God. And you can worship in prayer, you can worship in song, you can worship in fellowship, you can worship in service, you can worship in, a thousand ways. In fact, every part of our life ought to be an act of worship. So, here's what we're going to do then. I'll give you this verse from Psalm 122. Psalm 122 and verse 1 says this. The psalmist writes for us, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. So what we're going to do is we're going to take time to worship our God, to prepare our hearts to pray. Because you haven't got your heart ready until you have put God on the throne. And you've exalted Him and lifted Him up and praised Him and worshipped Him and magnified Him, made Him bigger, made ourselves smaller. And then we're ready. All right? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you in a moment. We're going to stand to our feet. We're going to stand to our feet to praise the Lord. And as we start off, what I'm going to ask you to do is to praise Him from your heart. Just tell Him. But we're going to stand as a way of honoring Him. Okay? Have you ever been in a room when they announce the entrance of some VIP or some great person, you know? And everybody stands and they're looking, you know, they're watching to get a glimpse. Y'all, we are in the presence of Almighty God. And so in a moment when we stand, I don't want you to stand just because, well, everybody else stand, I guess I'll stand. I want you to stand because we want to show honor to the Lord our God. So, now, if you're our guest and all this is a little foreign, hey, don't worry about it. Just relax. Sit and watch everything. Take it in. But if you're able, and if you'd like to honor the Lord this morning with me, just stand to your feet right now. Just stand to your feet. It's a posture that reflects something of our heart. God, we're standing for You today. We're standing in honor of You. Let's just bow together. And from your heart, would you just praise the Lord this morning? Just tell Him. Just worship Him. Praise Him. Father, we honor You today. Lord, You are good. God, You are faithful. Lord, You are loving. God, You are kind and true. Lord, You are righteous. You are forgiving. God, in every possible way that we can do so, Lord, we praise You this morning. We worship You. You are our God. You are our King. And Lord Jesus, You came to us. You came for us, just as You came for this man who was paralyzed. And Lord, just as You forgave his sin on that day, Lord, You've forgiven our sins, all of us who've asked You. Lord, You've forgiven us. Thank You, Lord. And Father, we just ask today that You would pour Yourself into us, speak to us, move within us. But Lord, we magnify You today. We lift You up. We praise You and we worship You. We give You glory and honor. Father, You are good. Praise the Lord. When we come into the presence of a holy God, the first thing that we become aware of is what Isaiah said when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And so we come into the presence of holy God, and He is love, and He is power, and He is salvation. Oh, He is all that is good, but within us, there isn't any good thing apart from Him. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go from standing on our feet, praising God, we're going to go to our knees. If you're able, and I realize some just say, can't do it. That's fine. Don't sweat it. But if you're able, would you just join me in humbling ourselves before God and just saying, "Oh God, I need You. Needed because their friend could not come on his own. He could not make his way down there to be healed. He couldn't do it. Maybe he wanted to. We don't know. We don't know all the details of that. But he could not make it on his own. He was powerless. And I want to suggest to you, there's folks in our lives today who are the exact same way. They want to change. They want to be better. They want to know that God's at work in their heart, but they can't do it. They need someone to carry them. They need someone to lift them up. And so, maybe they can walk into the building. Maybe they're not physically, without strength, but spiritually, they need Your prayers. They need Your strength, Your faith. And so, in this next moment, we're going to join together in praying. And here's what I would like us to especially pray for. I'd like us to pray for lost men and women, young people, boys and girls all around us. Some of them are our friends, maybe a cousin, maybe a nephew or a niece, a sister. Maybe it's your mother. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's somebody at school. Whatever it is, we want to lift them and carry them to Jesus. And, you know, they may not even be interested. They may not even be thinking about the Lord. That's okay. We can lift them up, pray for them, ask God to do something in them. And He's able to do it. Now, here's the thing about this. Because you can say, oh, well, that's all well and good, preacher. Sounds good. Here's the urgency of this. Because I saw the news stories this week just like you did. 7 sailors lost their lives in one of our ships in an accident at sea. 7 of our young men serving their country killed this week. Now my question is, of those 7, how many of them knew Jesus? And then a secondary question is, who was praying for those 7 men? I think about the babies left to die this week in a hot car. I think about a policeman gunned down with callous disregard for life. I think about some of our soldiers being killed in Afghanistan. I think about a young man who drowned yesterday in the Arkansas River, jumping in trying to save some little girls from drowning, and he lost his life. I mean, you know, you can talk about this in the abstract and, oh, prayer is so good, and, you know, but when you come down to it, people are lost without Jesus Christ and they need a Savior. And if you have this Savior in your life, you have a precious opportunity and an obligation to lift them up, to lift others up, to pray for those who don't have Jesus. Maybe who don't even know, don't understand. And some of them don't care. It's okay. But would you ask God to touch their heart and draw them to Himself? He is able to do that. So we're going to pray because there are people in your life. I mean, there are people you've thought about in this moment that isn't going to be on anybody else's heart. And if you're not praying for them, who's going to pray for them? I mean, I know good and well there's some mamas in this room. It's Father's Day. There's some mamas and there's some daddies in this room. And ain't nobody going to pray for your children like you pray for them. Because you love them with all your heart. And you want so much for them to know the Lord and to have life. Not just eternal life, but to have life in all the abundance that God gives now, here, today. And so we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray together. And we're going to ask the Lord to touch these folks' lives. And we're going to do it 2 different ways. So just bear with me. Some of y'all are going to be just freaked out. I realize that. You're Baptist. But it's okay. Just, you know, hang on. Hang on to your pew. And, all right. I want to give you a verse from Psalm 63, verse 3. And it says this: because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Well, just a wonderful expression of life with Christ. It's full, it's rich, it's sweet, it's joyous, it's wonderful. And then I want to give you this verse from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. This is going to guide our praying for the lost in a moment. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says this: I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so the first part of our moment of prayer, as we pray for lost people in our lives, is we're going to lift up holy hands. You say, how can we know our hands are holy? Because we've asked Christ to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us, to wash us. All right? So you say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. I'm not really a big on raising my hands in church. Well, nobody's going to be looking at you. Amen? Except God. So it don't matter. So let's just bow our heads and let's just take this moment. And I'm going to ask Clinton if he would to lead us in prayer for lost people, that God would put a burden on our hearts. But as we pray, I want to invite you and ask you to just lift holy hands to the Lord as we pray. It's absolutely biblical. I want to encourage you right now. Just lift your hands to the Lord and pray for lost people in your life. Take them to the throne of grace. Clinton, you pray for us, brother. This next moment, we're going to just join together. Would you reach out to somebody around you, somebody, two or three, whatever, and somebody in that group, just lead in prayer. I mean, pray out loud, nothing wrong with it, we're free. But just pray. Find somebody, and if you don't want to pray out loud, that's fine. You just sit there and pray right where you are, no problem. Okay? Let's just take this moment. Let's lift up lost people. Some are still finishing up, but let me just share with you. You know, these four men carried their friend to Jesus. And they carried him, and I don't know what was in their mind as they carried, lugged him up through there, brought him all that way, and then lowered him down through the roof to where Jesus was speaking. But I have to think their primary thought was, boy, our friend, our buddy's paralyzed. He needs to be healed. But you remember what Jesus did when they lowered him down? He looked at the man and he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And I have to think maybe at least one of those guys was saying, oh, great. He's going to forgive him and everything's great, but we're going to have to carry him home again. He went to the heart of the problem. Jesus went to the very heart of what was wrong and what was going on, and he forgave the man's sin because that was the real issue. That was the real problem. And we can pray for healing, and we should. And God heals. God heals. You know, he doesn't always heal like we'd like to see him heal, but he heals and he's able. But the greatest need is the need of the heart. And so, in this next part of our prayer, we're going to pray for needs, just for needs, just all kinds of needs. And it might be a physical need, sickness, disease, could be a need for a job, it could be a relationship need, it could be a marriage need, it could be all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you, bring it to Jesus, bring it to Him, and realize that as you do, He sees not just the outer need that you see. He sees what's inside also. He sees the heart of it. He understands what you really need. And so in this moment, we're going to join together. And we're going to pray for just needs all around us. And so as you know, as you're thinking about this, God may put somebody in your heart. to go to and pray with them, or pray for them, or ask you to pray, ask them to pray for you. But here's another opportunity I want to give you. If there's anybody in the room who says, "Boy, preacher, I need prayer today. I really need prayer," then I want to invite you to come to the altar right now. And we're not going to do some great, crazy thing. We're going to pray for you and with you. Okay? If you need prayer today, come on. Just come to the altar. And then what I'm going to do, once we've got whoever wants to come, amen. Then I'm going to ask a few of you to come. And we're going to pray with these folks and for them. Okay? Because prayer is powerful, and we have not because we ask not. And so we're coming for prayer. So you come if you want to be prayed for, but then if you want to pray for some of these others who've come, come on. Come on. God has for us. There's so much more than we've ever imagined. He wants to do more than we've ever asked Him to do. I want to encourage you to pray. Seek the Lord. Call on Him while He is near, the Bible says. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, for he will have mercy. All right, so a couple things. We're going to sing in a moment. We're going to close with that. One of the things God's been working on in my heart is calling you all to prayer, calling our church to pray. Just pray. Just seeking God. So, if you want to be a part of our church prayer ministry, and you know, I don't have all the pieces put together of how that's going to work and all the ways, but there's going to be a way for anybody who wants to do it. We're going to have a way for you to be involved. So, if you'd like to be a part of that, I want to encourage you to take your bulletin, tear that response card out, write your name on there. If I don't have your number or information, write that on there. But, get that. Either leave it on the front table or give it to me at the back when you leave, or set it on the table out here. Whatever, we'll find it. But I want to encourage you, if you want to be involved in this prayer ministry, and we need you, honestly. I mean, we want you to be. What we're going to ask for is we're going to ask for an hour a week of prayer. I mean, of focused prayer. Not an hour, 2 minutes here, and but I mean an hour of prayer. We're going to set aside, and you can pick your hour. You can pick your hour and choose when you want to do it. But we're going to ask you just to pray. And we'll be giving you, week by week, we'll be giving you needs and things to fill that hour. You won't have trouble praying for an hour, I promise you. So, I want to encourage you, if God puts it on your heart. Now, if it's just not something you're interested in, or something that you're not really willing to commit yourself to, I wouldn't do it. Because it's something we want to take seriously. And the Lord says it's better not to vow a vow, better not to say anything than to make a vow and then not carry it out. So, amen. All right, well, this morning, I know our service has been a little bit different and weird and whatnot, but we're thankful for each one of you being here and the blessing that we've had of just entering into prayer together. And so I want to encourage you to be back tonight. We have church at night. And, if the power's out, we have flashlights, and we will have service, Lord willing, unless something's blown away or something, we will have church. So, love for you to be here at 5:30. We have Share Jesus Without Fear. We'll meet right here in the auditorium. It's a great study. And even if you haven't gotten in on it yet, I think you'll be blessed. And then at 6:30, our worship time. I believe the sisters' class will also be meeting at 5:30. Is that so? Amen. All right. Any other word before we sing together?